Good morning. I've already had two or three people tell me they didn't recognize me this morning and that something must be going on because the regulars will know I'm usually the guy, sleeves rolled up, shirt untucked, boots, jeans. So someone said, wait a minute, your shirt's tucked in, you're wearing dress shoes and dress slacks, something must be going on. On a serious note, I'm very honored to have the opportunity to speak to you this morning. But if I were to be candid, when David first asked me, I kind of had an Aaron moment for a minute where I was saying, why me? You know, because giving's not something that we talk about a lot. I myself, over the years, sometimes have said, I don't want to be the guy that has to talk to people about giving money. But on the same token, giving's really an integral part and a reflection of our worship to God. And it's really a reflection of what happens in our hearts in response to who God is, and in response to what God has done for us. And so today, yeah, we're doing something a little different, changing the service up a little bit. I'm actually going to give half of the sermon, if you will, right before we collect our offering, and then Greg Dixon will give the other half. But I really want to encourage everyone right now just to really take this time to recognize the importance of our giving back to God, to recognize the importance of our really reflecting and worshiping Him. And I have just three points that I want to touch on briefly this morning. And the first is just that giving is really all about love. And when you look at John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave." And really, our giving back to Him is just our response for Him giving to us first. And I'll read these scriptures to you for the sake of time. You don't have to turn there. In James 1:17, it says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights." And when we think about our giving to God, the first thing we really have to recognize is just that everything, and that includes everything that we have, is from God. God's really the owner of everything we have. He's the reason we have everything that we have. And so when we're giving back to Him, we're simply giving a small portion back to Him out of the abundance that He's already blessed us with. I think sometimes living in America, it's very easy to take for granted how good we have it here. And I think a story that illustrates it really well for me is, you know, my wife's family, she's from Mexico, so we have an opportunity to go back there every year and visit her family. And on several trips, we've had different people invite us over for dinner or for lunch. Now, if you know anything about the Mexican culture, they do everything big. If it's a birthday party for a two-year-old, it'll be a big birthday party for a two-year-old. If they invite you over for dinner, it'll be like a feast where they've invited 200 or 300 people. So, you know, with that being said, the Mexican economy is not doing well. The average person there, their wages are about roughly $40 to $50 a month. Something that we could leave here today, take our family out to lunch, there's $40 or $50 right there. But when I look at how they treat and serve my family and I when they invite us over, and start to think about how much money did they spend just to have us over for lunch or dinner, and how much have they sacrificed to do that, it all puts it into perspective for me. And with us, it's like, do we have that same sort of gratitude? Do we have that same sort of cheerfulness when it comes to giving back to God? We've been given so much. How do we feel when it's time to give back to God? Do our offerings flow freely out of gratitude? Is it coming from love? Because love, that's what love does. Love gives. If you're a loving person, people will also say you're synonymous with the giving person, because those two go hand in hand. Second point is just that giving should be free of any legalism. And in 2 Corinthians 9:7, it says, each man, woman should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, when I read that scripture, it really tells me that God wants us to be, our giving should be joyful. Our giving should be a joyful expression back to him. And kind of like the families that I described to you, when they have us over, it's like they're not thinking about, my gosh, we just spent 3 months' worth of wages to have these people over. No, they're joyful and thinking, we're happy that we're able to spend time with Chuck and his family. How do we feel when we give to God? Is it a, oh, gosh. Or are we excited about the opportunity that we have to give back to God? Excited about the opportunity to say a small thank you, an opportunity to respond, to be a reflection of who God is, of what he means to us, to be a reflection of the love that he's bestowed upon us. Because, you know, in God's eyes, It's really not about the value of what we give. It's not about the amount. It's more about the heart. If you look in Mark 12, where Jesus is, you know, he's sitting right at the temple where everyone was turning in their offerings. And he's watching the wealthy come by and just drop in money, drop in money, drop in money. And then a widow comes and drops in 2 copper coins. And he turns to his disciples and said, they're giving out of their wealth. And when you look at the context of the word wealth that he uses, they're giving out of their excess. But this woman, she just gave everything she had to live on. And when you think about the social context of what was going on back then and how the teachers of the law were treating widows, you'll understand that it must have taken everything she could muster up just to want to give, let alone the action of just giving everything that she had. So, you know, as we think about it today about giving, think less about the amount and think about the heart. Think about the heart associated with giving back to God, and that it's really a reflection, a response of who God is. And that's something that David's been talking about for the last couple of months, is us just discovering who God is. We're not focusing on what we're not doing, but we want to focus on what we should and what we are doing. And then lastly is just giving is just believing in God's promises. In Malachi 3:10-11, it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. If this is a storehouse we've chosen, if Cornerstone is our storehouse, are we bringing our offerings in? And right here, God says, test me in this and see if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven. My simple question today is, do we believe that that's still true today? When we give, do we believe that God will throw open the floodgates of heaven and bless us? Because to God, giving back to Him has been important since Cain and Abel, and it's just as important today. And it wasn't so much about what Cain gave, but it was really about the attitude, the spirit, the heart that he gave it in, the selfish intent. And so as we go about today, as we go about really thinking about giving back to God, I really want to encourage us to focus on how integral this part of our worship to God is. Because I think it's easy for us, normally during the offering, there's a lot going on. There are announcements going on. There are trays being passed. It's easy to fall into it's just a routine. But I'm here to tell you, it's not. Even though there might be all of that stuff going on, we have to really center it back to what the real essence and what the real importance of that time is. And that's just allowing our giving back to God to really reflect who God is and really reflect the impact that He's had on us, the impact that Him loving us first has had on us. So as we collect our offering today, my prayer one is just center yourself and focus on how important that reflection is. Strip away the legalism. Focus on your offering being out of love for God and what He's done for you. And lastly, just ask yourself, do you still believe that the promise is true today? Because God was pretty much just throwing down a dare. Dare me. Dare me and see if I will. Do you still believe it's true today? So as we take our offering, let's pray together.
Morning. I'm so grateful also for the opportunity to speak. And Chuck, thanks so much for the things that you shared. There are definitely some things that are, you know, awkward for David to talk about up here, one of which is giving, right? I mean, you know, when he's, you know, basically his income depends on our contribution, so it's a little, you know, it's just awkward, right? So I appreciate the opportunity to come up and talk about it as somebody who's, you know, like you. I'm a member, right? I'm a participant in the contributing side and not really drawing anything out. So take that as it is. I really want to share some things that I've been thinking about, and these are things from my heart. I don't intend these to be to try to make you feel guilty or, you know, no compulsion here. This is just things that I think about and wonder about. Sometimes I wonder, you know, what's God's perspective on giving? And so I've spent some time lately, you know, looking through the Bible, and I think He likes it. I really do. I think he believes in it. The main reason I can say that is because it's obvious in the scriptures that He has poured Himself out into the world, right? I mean, He created all this. You know, think about the stars. Why are they there? I don't know exactly all the reasons, but I know one of the reasons is so we can enjoy them. And yet, as we've learned, you know, light years, you know, how many thousands, millions of years has that star had to be there for the light to have reached us? You know, I mean, it's things like that where it's just incredible. Our bodies, you know, our bodies are an estimated 10 trillion cells, each with their own purpose and function, each of its own accord, a miracle. I mean, an amazingly complex thing, right? I mean, that's God. That's what he does, right? He gives. He gives all this for us. You know, he basically said he wanted us to have dominion over the earth, right? And subdue it and occupy it and basically take over, right? Be in charge. So we don't necessarily do a great job of that all the time, but that was his goal. That he gave the earth to us. He in Acts, you know, it says he's given us life and breath and everything else, right? I mean, that pretty much covers everything, right? Some of the things, though, that we may not think about a lot is he gives us free will, you know, the freedom to choose. He doesn't hold a hammer over us and pound us when we do something wrong. He doesn't kick us out, you know, when we make bad choices. He allows us to mess up and make bad choices. In fact, it's almost required to do that to learn, right? I mean, we don't really learn from following the straight and narrow. We learn from doing stupid things and going, I never want to do that again, right? I mean, isn't that amazing? He gives us our relationships, right? Our families, our friends, our coworkers, all those people, he's orchestrated their life and obviously their ancestors going back and back and back to bring them to the point where we have relationships with them, all by his design. He's given us promises, right? I mean, the scripture is just full of promises that God has given us. He gives us obviously knowledge and insight, right? I mean, we're the only creatures who actually have the ability to analyze, to think about ourselves and about where we fit in and who are we, right? We're made in his image. He gave us his word with insight. And, you know, if you think about just how that was put together over centuries, multiple people writing down the inspired word and that it all fits together and it all teaches us and inspires us, encourages us, warns us. The talents and skills that he's given us, right? I mean, each of us have our own distinct, unique, never ever occurred before in all of the billions of people that have lived here and will never occur again. Each one of you has your own distinct, special talents and skills. There's so many others: faith, hope, and love. Obviously, Jesus. You know, the Bible says that God gave us Jesus. It also says that God gave Jesus us. We're a gift to Jesus. Redemption, salvation, mercy, grace, the Holy Spirit. All of the things that we don't even think about, the air we breathe, the food we eat, drink, our health, clothing, shelter, the ability to earn money, to earn wealth and provide for ourselves, comfort, pleasure, joy, peace, patience, kindness, blessings and challenges too, success and failure, and discipline. I mean, literally, we're swimming in a sea of blessings, and it's so hard we don't even understand or comprehend it. So my question is, how am I responding to him? And I thought about, you know, how does a child respond to a parent? You know, I thought about the stages of that relationship. You know, at first, it's all take, right? I mean, the baby is all need and no, there's even not even a perception of giving, right? That's something they have to be taught or they grow to learn. Eventually, you know, as they get into the toddler stage, they might, you know, mimic you if you say, I love you. They might say that back, right? They might give you a toy or something and, you know, they might draw you a picture. My grandkids are just doing awesome. They come around with pictures almost every day. It's amazing. And so that it, you know, that's when you really start to get the wow of this is why it all, you know, all the suffering and the sacrifice and all the things you have to do to take care of a child. That's when you really start to get, man, this is worth it. Right? They really start to respond to you. But then they go through, you know, some challenging times where they get a mind of their own, right? And they start to get their own ideas about themselves and about life. And they may go through periods where, you know, they seem totally indifferent or even hostile, you know, to our efforts as parents. And they may even rebel, you know, completely, turning their backs on the parent and pushing them away. Eventually, hopefully, they'll start to realize and appreciate how much you've done for them and you continue to do. That you're not the stupidest person on the planet. And you actually may know a thing or two, right? I mean, that's an amazing transformation that starts to happen. Then they even begin to reciprocate. It starts to become a not just a parent-child relationship, but a friend relationship. You know, co-inhabitants of the planet, people on a similar journey. They start to care about what's going on in your life. You know, they want to know what you care about and why you care about it. Maybe they even participate with you as friends, seek and give advice, valuing your ideas and opinions, and you valuing theirs. That's why God gives. That's what he wants from us, is that, right? So we have to think about, you know, where are we in this journey, you know, as individuals? What level, you know, what stage, if you would, of maturity in our relationship with God? You know, where are we there? That's not bad. I mean, you know, if we're an infant, that's what we are. If, you know, if we're a teenager and rebelling or wherever we are, I think that's where we start and we figure out how to grow and mature from there. You know, are we giving ourselves to God? Are we reciprocating? Are we pouring out our thanks? Are we giving him gifts, right? I mean, shouldn't we be? Do we know what he cares about? Do we know what really matters to him? And does that really matter to us? You know, if God blesses us, which the Bible says, if he blesses us mainly for the purpose of us being able to be a blessing to others, then, you know, if you think about that as a vessel, right? God pours himself out into us so that we can then pour ourselves out into the people around us. So I have to ask myself, you know, am I enriching people the way God's enriching me? Am I pouring myself into other members, you know, of the congregation? Am I doing my part to strengthen this community of faith? To love others, to encourage, to challenge, to support? Am I using my talents and my skills to serve others, both in the church and outside? Right? All that's giving, right? That's what giving is. You know, am I supporting the work of the church financially? Right? I mean, obviously money's a strange thing, right? We really get wrapped around the axle about money. But all money really is a means of exchange, right? It's about exchanging value. If I had a chicken that laid eggs and Tim had a cow that gave milk, then Tim and I could work out a relationship where, you know, I don't want to just have eggs every day. I'd love to have some milk and maybe vice versa. So we could exchange, right? We could just trade. But then if Tim needed a new shirt, and I don't do shirts, I don't have any, and Tim wanted to trade some milk for a shirt with Scott, but Scott doesn't like milk. He's allergic to it. So Scott goes, I'd love some eggs, but don't want any milk. Right? I mean, it's basic economics here, right? But the idea is money is only a tool. It's all it's really used is to exchange value in a fair way. Other than that, it's an inanimate object. The way Dave Ramsey puts it, I love it. He says, a brick. You know, what is it? It's just a brick. But it can be used to throw through the front, you know, window of a store so you can rob the store, or it can be used to build a hospital where people can be healed. It's how you use it that matters. And the same is true with money, right? All it is something that we use to try to transfer value from one person to another. That's all. And so I think it makes sense, you know, when the scriptures talk about, you know, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, right? That Jesus said, either you love money or you love God. You can't do both. How foolish to try to love an inanimate, meaningless, really. One of the books I really like is called The Treasure Principle by Randy Alcorn. And he gives the example of Confederate dollars. You know, what if you were back in the Confederacy back during the Civil War and you had millions of dollars in Confederate dollars? But as soon as that war was over, what was that worth? Nothing, right? The same thing actually happens here. We just sometimes don't think about it. The money, all the money, all the value, all the possessions on the earth, you know, at the last day, what does that mean? It's gone, right? It's worthless. But, you know, Jesus said, store up for yourselves. He said, first of all, don't store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. He said, rather store up for yourselves in heaven, treasures in heaven, where that can't happen. Because there is no destruction up there. There are no thieves, right? And so that's what it's really talking about, is don't invest your life and your skills and your talents and your time and your energy in something that, poof, is going to be gone. Invest it in something that's going to last forever. So it makes me realize, you know, what am I doing with money? You know, what am I doing with my time and my energy? Does it matter? Is it impacting people's lives? Does it matter here for this congregation? You know, am I being consistent in my giving here, both financially and in my service? What does that say about my faith? What does it say about who I am? The way that I live, the choices I make. I've got to skip some. I was telling Chuck, you know, it's hard when you sit down and you start saying, what do I want to say? And it doesn't come. And then finally it comes and it's like a flood of stuff. And you go, yeah, I don't think I want to spend 3-4 hours. Okay, I do want to talk about this. I joined the board. This is my first stint on the church board. And so I even said when, you know, we were talking about what things can we contribute to the board, one of the things I said is, well, I'm kind of the outsider, the newcomer, right? So I'm coming for the first time to kind of observe what's going on. And one of the things that has jumped out at me there is I think we got some challenges. And some of them are financial. The budget is not, you know, as a business owner, I look at a budget every week. We go through our budget. And looking at the church budget, it's not healthy. It's just not. And, you know, I just want to talk about that. I think maybe even what's going on is, at least this is what I feel. I feel like we're kind of at a fork in the road here. And we've, as individuals and collectively as a group, I think we've got to make some decisions about what we want. You know, why are we here? What are we up to? What is God up to with us here together? You know, what are we all about here? What do we want to do in the world? You know, how do we want to impact this community and each other and our kids and our grandkids? And, you know, what is it we're up to? What do we want? We've got to decide which direction we want to go. I thought of the movie Matrix. I know that's an old one. But Morpheus, you know, held out two pills, right? He held out the red and the blue. And he said, if you take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed. You believe whatever you want to believe. But if you take the red pill, then you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. And in my mind, that is an analogy for us, where we are. If we want to take the blue pill, you know, to me, what does that look like? You know, we're content where we are, right? I mean, this is comfortable. This is peaceful. We've got people, we're surrounded by people who we love and we know love us. And this is easy. We've been blessed, you know, beyond measure with relationships that go back for years, decades even. It's amazing. But, you know, practically speaking, that can't just continue forever, right? I mean, what happens in the life cycle of really any church is they typically reach a certain level and then they gradually dwindle down and die as the members, you know, kind of just get gray and you get older and eventually you got nothing left. You have to sell your building and move on. Is that, you know, that's the blue pill in my mind, us choosing that we're comfortable, we like it this way, we want to stay this way. And I'm not saying that to beat us up or make us feel bad. I think it's just a fact, a reality that's kind of dawning on me. And, you know, a couple of things that I think about. I think about, you know, the building, the facilities. You know, we're nomads, right? We went through years of not having a place to meet, and so we're just kind of used to going with the flow, as David kind of talked about, right? The turtle church, right? We carry our kids' crafts on our back and, you know, go from place to place. And you know, in fact, I was mentioning that, you know, I remember going down to the Hyatt downtown and you know, places like that. We've done a lot of that. So this place was a real blessing. But I kind of, here's what's kind of going through my mind. I'm just going to be totally transparent. Is I wonder what this says, what this place says to the people outside, you know, driving by. What do they think when, you know, we know we've got a building there that had some damage to it and it needs to be repaired and we want to save up and, you know, we want to do it the right way. But what kind of, what does it say about us, about who we are, what we're up to? Maybe even what does it say about what God's up to here? That concerns me. My vision, my dream is that we can figure out through God's blessing how to totally change that and make this a place when people look at it, they go, wow, something's happening there. And I don't know all the details about how we might can make that happen, but prayerfully, I think God wants us to start thinking about that and praying about it and talking about it and together figure out what that means, figure out what that looks like for us to have an impact right here, right where we are on the community around us. You know, I think things we could do here is if we were able to increase the budget, you know, there's a lot of things that David kind of manages the budget and then the board kind of oversees that. There's a lot of things that have to come out. You know, a lot of parties, a lot of celebrations, a lot of activities, parent teaching workshops, marriage workshops. There's a lot of stuff that we just practically can't do because we really don't have the financial resources. And we don't have people, you know, stepping up to give their skills and talents. Those are the two main things, you know, I think that are slowing us down here, that I think we can change that. God willing, through our desire and our fervent prayer and our hard work, we can change that here. I think what it mainly takes is commitment from all of us. I know we're committed to God. I know we're committed to each other. I think we just have to be committed also to a vision of what is God up to here? You know, what is he up to? What does he want us to do. We need to figure that out and commit ourselves to that. I think it's going to take, here's one of the things David, I think, mentioned, you know, a couple months ago, and it is amazing. This church is an incredibly generous group of people. You know, he mentioned Habitat for Humanity. You know, when we did something we didn't seem that big to us, did picnic tables or something, they were crying. I mean, the administrators of the Habitat for Humanity group were literally crying and saying they'd never seen anything like that. And it's kind of like, well, wait a minute. Don't you build houses? I mean, don't you have like hundreds of volunteers doing? They were very touched by that. Hope Worldwide. You've seen Mark Ottenweller. He's given us a small reflection of what is going on in Africa, of the joy, of the excitement, right, from those people for what you guys do. You're getting me to cry. Stop that. Sorry. This is an incredibly generous group of people. I think where there's a disconnect is I think we're struggling with here, with just the day in, day out, what are we doing here, and, you know, what's our goal? Can we be consistent with our, you know, with our giving financially? Can we get plugged in and use our skills and our talents and our abilities to serve each other and to, you know, to develop dynamic ministries that are really impacting the people around us? And we're doing some of that. The life group thing is, to me, is really starting to take off. I think it's awesome. The teen ministry, you know, what Josh and Megan have been doing there with that in the middle school. The children's ministry with Orange, I think it's, you know, I see a lot of momentum going there, but I think we've got to be all in. I think all of us have to be all in to make this what God's vision is for us. So I think, you know, ultimately, you know, we've got to examine ourselves and go, I can't just expect other people to contribute money. I can't expect other people to serve. I can't, you know, just expect to bask in the glory of this without contributing myself and, you know, my resources, because it just doesn't work, right? I mean, it's got to be all of us, all in there, all the time. And I think we do that. I think that's the red pill, you know, in the Matrix analogy. Then we can start to see, you know, how deep does the rabbit hole go? You know, think about 20 years from now, what difference that can make here if we just all commit ourselves and pour ourselves into each other and into the community and into the things that really make a difference. Think how much different this would be. So all I want to ask is that we prayerfully consider these things. And if there's something, you know, that's holding you back, something you feel like just isn't right here, or for whatever reason, if you feel like you can't commit, let's talk about it. Pull aside some people. Talk about it. Let's get those things out and fix them, whatever they are, right? That's what God wants. He wants us to, we're family, right? We work through issues, we figure it out, and then we move forward and achieve the goals that we've set out for ourselves. Thank you. Let's pray.